إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وبعد فتنك الله سبحانه وتعالى for giving us another opportunity to continue with the reading of the hadith and specifically here the hadith of the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Ruqayya Tamim ibn Aus al-Jari radiyallahu anhu. Last week he told us about the companion Tamim and that he was from those who came into Islam in the later years of Islam, about the ninth year of Islam. So he's from the later companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And before the Prophet died, he memorized the Quran. He became known with the Quran before the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that he has a virtue which is rare amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is that the Prophet narrated a hadith from Tamim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated from Tamim. What is known is that people would narrate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the case of Tamim in Aus ibn al-Jari radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet narrated from him radiyallahu anhu. So from the hadith that Tamim narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is this seventh hadith in the Arba'un of the Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. In it he said radiyallahu anhu أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال تميم ابن عوس أبو رقية تميم ابن عوس الداري. He said that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said الدين النصيحة. تميم ابن عوس said that the Prophet said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الدين النصيحة. In some riwayat it said الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة. The Prophet repeated it thrice عليه الصلاة والسلام. He said رضي الله عنه تميم that قلنا لمن. He said to who, oh Allah's Messenger, to who النصيحة, to who. And he said عليه الصلاة والسلام قال. The Prophet said صلى الله عليه وسلم لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. And the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام that نصيحة is for Allah, for his prophets, or لكتابه, for his books. We'll come back to that inshallah. It's a kitab, and that is إضافة كتابه ولكتابه تفيد العموم. For his books, we'll come back to that inshallah. ولرسوله, and his messenger. Even if it mentions رسول, and the jam of رسول is رسل, but here it means all of his رسل, even when he has used a singular noun here. ولرسوله, we'll come back to it بإذن الله. ولأئمة المسلمين, and for the leaders of the Muslims. وعامتهم, and their rank and file. The rank and file of the Muslims, we have to give them nasiha. Allah, his books, his messengers, and then the rank and file of the Muslims and the leaders of the Muslims, all of these people, we give them nasiha. Then he said, Imam Nawawi said, Ali Rahmatullah, that Rawahu Muslim, that Imam Muslim has reported this hadith. In other books, perhaps we may have, one or two of us will have in his, they wrote Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Do we have anyone in whose text is written in Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim? We have. But there are texts which contain Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. We'll come back to that also. Bismillah. Why is it Rawahu al-Bukhari? Because this hadith is in Kitab al-Iman of Sahih al-Bukhari. But it does not occur as a hadith from the usul of al-Imam al-Bukhari. It occurs as a tarjuma for a bab in Kitab al-Iman. So Imam al-Bukhari used it as a title heading, as a heading for one of the subsections in the section on Iman in Sahih al-Bukhari. So it does not occur in Bukhari like other ahadith. For example, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ is the first hadith in Bukhari. The first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So this hadith, الدين النصيحة, does not occur in Sahih al-Bukhari in the way إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ occurs. So ulama will say رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُ مُعَلَّقًا. So it's from the مُعَلَّقَات of Imam al-Bukhari. What are the مُعَلَّقَات of al-Bukhari? We'll explain a little from it, inshallah. So he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that الدِّينُ النَّصِيحَةِ, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that الدِّينُ النَّصِيحَةِ, the meaning of الدِّين, the religion. The religion. So which religion is this talking about? So we say, well, this alif wallah, or al, indicating al-ma'rifah, is talking about a deen that we know. It's talking about a religion that we know. Just like he said, Buniya al-Islamu ala al-khams. Who? Islam is built upon five pillars. Who built Islam upon five pillars? Allah. He says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man is created weak. Who created man? Allah. So when it says, الدِّينُ, the religion, the deen, which deen? We say, Islam. So how do we know? We say, okay, Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لِإِسْلَامِ. The deen with Allah is Islam. He says again, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغْ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Anyone who chooses other than Islam as a deen, it will not be accepted from him. And وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. In the hereafter, he will be from the losers. So these verses are many others in the deen. It says, فَعَتِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلْدِينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. So all of these verses make us understand that ad-deen, don't forget, Tamim was coming from a deen. Tamim was a Christian. And now he's a Muslim. He is hearing the Prophet saying, alayhi salatu wa salam, ad-deen. He could not have meant Christianity. The Prophet could not have been talking to Tamim that ad-deen, someone just accepted Islam and saying, this deen, the deen, it means this new deen, Islam, that you have come into. So he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, ad-deenu al-nasiha. So the nasiha too, the khabar, this mubtada, ad-deen. Its khabar too has ma'rifa, al-nasiha. The ulama say, when something like this happens, the mubtada has ma'rifa. Khabar is also ma'rifa. He said, tufidu al-hasr. Meaning, there is no any other thing. There's nothing, no any other thing in Islam except what? An-Nasiha. But we know that there are perhaps other things. Yes, the majority of what is in Islam has to do with Nasiha. Or all of Islam is An-Nasiha. Each of them is right. By the time we go around this hadith, just like he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that Al-Hajju Arafa. Hajj is Arafa. It doesn't actually mean that aside Arafah, there is nothing in Hajj. So there are things in Hajj aside Arafah.
you made tawaf al-ifada, you make sa'yu, you made gufa al-jamrat, you do any of other things too in hajj. It makes us understand that the most important aspect of hajj is what? Arafah. So as it says to Adin, this Islam, and Nasiha, from the most important aspects of Islam is Al-Nasiha. So Al-Nasiha, many scholars have said many things about it. What Al-Nasiha means. But basically it means Al-Khulus. Something being made, you know, pure. It does not contain impurity. So like making ikhlas to deen illallah, making deen for Allah alone. So in this kind of a case, we'll say this kind of a person has given nasiha to Allah because he made the deen pure for Allah. So when he says that deen and nasiha, that the deen is nasiha, it means the deen is Islam, is pure. It does not contain impurities. No inclusions, unwanted inclusions, they are not there. There is no foreign bodies in Islam. And this is how the Muslim should be. The Muslim should not be a Muslim but filled with impurities of kufr. So inside his body, in his heart, is kafir. And in the daily dealings, you see him performing salah with the Muslims. So this deen, for this kind of a person, does not have nasiha. Because it is not what? Pure. The deen for this kind of a person that we describe is not pure. The same thing for the one who has other aspects of impurities, especially when those things have to do with things of akidah. So the worse, the more problematic his infections are, the more defective his deen is. And the less nasiha he has given, do we understand? The less he has taken nasiha important, because the deen is pure. So if he does not give the deen, something is pure, and he does not keep it pure, it becomes infected, it becomes impure. So a deen nasiha, this deen is pure. So the question of liman is purity. How maintaining purity, making Islam purely for making the deen pure. How do we make the deen pure? So he explained it to me. So Islam is a pure deen, and the Muslims who will act upon the rules of Islam must be pure in their activities, that is, acting based upon the rules of Sharia. So acting based upon the rules of Sharia regarding Allah. Acting based upon the rules of the Sharia regarding the Prophet. Acting based upon the rules of the Sharia regarding the books of Allah. Acting upon all these, the Muslims, the leaders of the Muslims, and the rank and file amongst the Muslims. So this makes us understand the importance of an-nasiha, making our deen purely for Allah. And that's why from something like this is what Allah told us in Surah Al-Bayyinah. Though even this has to do with a section of the deen, which is ibadah. He says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. We have not commanded them anything except that they should worship Allah. Making their deen have ikhlas, giving nasiha to Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Making the deen مُخْلِص, yani مُخْلَص for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not adding anything, not removing, making it as it should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an-nasiha, the basis of an-nasiha is making something as it should be without allowing infections to affect that thing. So if you are giving nasiha to somebody, it means you want to tell him what you should tell him. So ulama say added to that is that you are telling him what you should tell him with love and easiness. And this is how actually we should deal with the Muslim, with love and easiness. You want to correct a Muslim, correct him with love and easiness. We'll come back to that, bismillah. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that ad-deen nasiha, this deen, Islam,
is sincerity. That is why the hadith is usually translated like that. That ad-deenun nasiha. This deen is sincerity. Ikhlas is making something pure, making ibadah pure for Allah, making Islam for Allah alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As regarding Allah. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make us understand the importance of making our deen sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spoke as if Islam does not have any other thing except an-nasiha. We said there are evidences that makes us understand that there are other things in Islam apart from nasiha. Cool. But it implies that from the most important aspects of Islam is what? An-nasiha. Just like he said, al-hajj arafah. That arafah is hajj. So we know that there are other aspects of hajj. So it only makes us understand that from the most important aspects of hajj is what? Arafah. That's why Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah, in his sharh of this hadith, in his sharh of al-Minhaj, sharh of Sahih Muslim, he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that ma'an al-hadith, that the meaning of this hadith, it means that the pillars of Islam is what? An-nasiha wa qiwamuhu, and from its most important aspects is what? An-nasiha. So from the most important aspects of Islam is making our religion sincere. Deen al-nasiha, the deen, this religion of Islam is making the deen, making it sincere, giving sincerity. The Prophet spoke of it like this. General, giving sincerity. How? How do you give sincerity? And to who do you give the sincerity? To who do you show sincerity? How do you show sincerity? So they asked him. Even when the ulama said to us that there are reports that make us understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated this statement. Well, not just one. Adinu nasiha. There's a qulna liman. To who? And then started to explain lillahi wa rasulillah. He was repeating it. And this is from his talib. We told us he has many ways to teach the people, alayhi salatu wasalam. From that is repetition. Sometimes he will just, there is a hadith of al-bazadatu min al-iman. He started that hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Allah tasma'un, that is, do they not hear? You know, everybody, somebody just comes and starts asking, Do you not hear me? Do you not hear me? You know, the people are wants to ask, hear what? So they were wondering, Allah tasma'un, do they not hear? Do they not listen? Are they not hearing? So the companion asked, what? Oh, Messenger of Allah, anna al-bazadata min al-iman. That simplicity is from the aspect of iman. So it will just sink to the mind. So all what you have been saying is, are they not hearing? Hear what? O Messenger of Allah, hear what? Then he said to them that, anna al-bazadata min al-iman. Certainly, being simple is from iman. So from his ways of teaching the people to alayhi salatu wasalam, is to repeat what he has to say. Anas bin Malik specifically mentioned that whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us something, he repeats it so that we will hear. So you karriruha. The Prophet goes on repeating. So when he says ad-deen al-nasiha, they know what is ad-deen, it is Islam. They know what is al-nasiha, but how? Ad-deen al-nasiha, how do we give sincerity? What does it imply? What other things? So the ulama said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his ahli, apart from repeating, apart from using statements of istiftah like Allah inna fil jasadi mudghah, that statement Allah is from what he uses to call the people's attention. You pay attention to what I have to say. So apart from using things like that, from what he does also, alayhi salatu wasalam, he repeats the statement. He makes statements that calls the attention of the people to the importance of what he has to say. So here he repeated it. He says, Tarrarahu. The Prophet said, Ad-deen al-nasiha, Ad-deen al-nasiha, Ad-deen al-nasiha. He said, Kulna, we said, Nasiha to who, O Messenger of Allah? liman ya rasulullah and he explained alayhi salatu wasalam lillahi. So religion is giving sincerity to Allah, being sincere to Allah. So in all of our deeds we give sincerity to Allah. So it goes back to the first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ.
If you don't give the sincerity to Allah and you do the deeds, you will not have the reward. You will only have the reward of what you have done, for the intention for which you have done it. If you have done something for another intention, you, that is the kind of reward you will get. Because it says, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Now it is hijrah. Lacking, what was the intention of that hijrah? So the person will get the intention that he had for making hijrah. Now hijrah is correct, but is the intention correct? So ad-deen al-nasiha is that we give sincerity, lillahi, we give sincerity to Allah in all of our deeds. You want to recite the Quran, sincerity. You want to perform salah, sincerity. Allah, I'm doing it for you alone. So that you love me, you forgive me, you overlook my mistakes, you alone, so that you reward me. And because I'm afraid of you, the Sufis, they say, we should not worship Allah because we are afraid of him. No, we worship Allah. For me, from the reasons why we worship Allah is that we are afraid of his punishment. He told us in the Quran, it says, ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ يَا عِبَادِي فَتَّقُونَ فِيَا مِي هُنَا أُلَمَا سَيْ فِيَامِ فَخَافُونِ. So he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهِ. He was talking about Jahannam. يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَةً. These things that I have mentioned, I'm using it to make you fear. Allah makes it, he mentions it so that you will, his servants, his creatures will fear him. So part of giving sincerity to Allah is we give his ibadah, we give ibadah to him. We perform salah, we fast in Ramadan, we make all of our ibadah lillahi, for the sake of Allah alone, alone, not for the sake of Allah. And stop there. For the sake of Allah alone. Because somebody can have for the sake of Allah and then for the sake of another thing other than Allah. So say for the sake of Allah alone, we give worship. So everything we do, we give worship. So this is from the most important aspects of Islam. So he says, Ad-deenu an-nasiha. That is from the first aspects of giving ikhlas to Allah. From the other aspects of giving ikhlas to Allah, ulama say, is that ash-shahadatu lahu bil-wahdaniyah. Is that we must testify and certify, affirm it in our hearts, that he is one, subhanahu wa ta'ala. His oneness must be certified, must be affirmed by us. Fi rububiyyatihi, in his being the one in charge of creation. Allah created everything, don't doubt it. Allah provided for everything, don't doubt it in any way. Allah takes care of the affairs of everything, don't doubt it. So if you say, brother, don't take haram, take halal. He said, no, how will I not take halal? What will I say? Allah has provided what you will eat. You only need to be patient. He said, ah, I only need to be patient. I will not be patient. He does not need to doubt it. It is from rububiyyah of Allah that Allah has provided for him. From the rububiyyah of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he has not left any creature on the earth, anywhere, except that he's the one providing for it. He provides for all of the creation. Nobody should doubt this, because even Iblis does not doubt it. Iblis does not doubt the rububiyyah of Allah. Iblis does not doubt the rububiyyah of Allah. Even kuffar do not doubt the rububiyyah. Of course, if Iblis does not, the leader of the kuffar, does not doubt the rububiyyah of Allah, how, why should we be surprised that even the kuffar do not doubt the rububiyyah of Allah? The Iblis does not doubt the rububiyyah of Allah, such that even when he wanted to call unto Allah, to request from Allah, he started with telling him that you are my Lord. In Sa'd, when Allah was asking him, he told us about it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسُ مَا مَنَعْتَ
أن تسجد لما خلقت بيدي أكبرت أم كنت من العالم يسجد قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار خلقتني ربوبية أو فلا يسجدني إبليس didn't say you didn't create me though I created myself إبليس recognize خلقتني من نار not only that وخلقته you also created Adam من تين. And in the subsequent verses, also in the same surah, when he was going to ask Allah, I say, Rabbi, فَأَنْزِرْنِي لَيَوْمِ الْبَعْثِ. Say, my Lord. Like saying, Allahumma. Even when Allahumma is greater than saying Rabbi. Because Ilah, the one who says Allahumma, affirms the uluhi of Allah that Iblis did not affirm. Iblis affirmed Rububi of Allah, he denied Uluhi of Allah. That is that it is Allah alone to whom worship is due. Iblis denied that one. So he didn't say Allahumma. So he said Rabbi. So nobody says Allahumma except that he has affirmed Rububi of Allah and then he adds to it the Uluhi of Allah. So giving Nasiha to Allah for me is we affirm the Rububi of Allah. And then we affirm is what? Uluhiyya. The fact that no one has the right. It is not that no one is worshipped though. If we say La ilaha illallah means nobody is worshipped besides Allah or nothing is worshipped besides Allah, it is not correct. La ilaha illallah means La ma'buda bi hakim. Nobody is rightfully worshipped. It means all those aliha that they worship, they do not have a right to worship them. This is the uluhiyya of Allah. But nobody has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So everything people worship, they do not have a right. And now that Isa alayhi salam will say that, ma yakunu li an akula ma laysa li bihaqqin. I do not have a right to tell them to worship me. Because he does not have a right. That's a Nabi or a Rasul. To demand ibadah from the people, from Ibad al-Rahman. So for that he says, no, I do not tell them to worship me. In kuntu kultuhu fakad alim, if I had said it, you know. I didn't ever demand that I be worshipped. So from giving nasiha to Allah is, we must make ibadah solely for him. We must affirm his rububiyyah without doubt. We must affirm its uluhiyya without doubt. From the affirmation of the uluhiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that there is no way a Muslim after affirming that Allah is the one only rightfully worshipped, the one that is only rightfully worshipped, we must also affirm that what the Prophet has come with is the only way to worship Allah. It's from affirming the uluhiyya of Allah. We'll come back to that when we talk about giving nasiha to Rusul, inshallah. So from giving nasiha to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to affirm his sifat, his asma and his sifat, his names and his sublime attributes. So Allah says, Yadullah fawqa aydihim. He says, Yadullah fawqa aydihim. He has his hand. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ كِيلًا. Who best speaks? Who speaks better than Allah? So if you agree that Allah is the best speaker, of course, he created those who speak, and he gave them the ability to speak, then it's necessarily better than them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks best. So if he speaks best, he says yes. Does he not know what he says? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what he says. So don't say yad means huwa, power, or izzah, authority. No. Yad means yad. Lakin. We have hands. Yes, we say yes. He says that you have hands and he says he has hands too. Does not mean the two hands are the same. Because even amongst the creatures, we know that some creatures have eyes. We have eyes too. Is it not so? Hands. They have eyes. They have eyes. But are their eyes like the human eye? So if that difference can occur amongst the created, why will it not occur between the created and the creator? We say laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. Yeah, look at how he ended it. He says, I'm Sami, I hear. He is Al-Basir. He used attributes that we also have. But he started with the nafi, laysa kamithlihi shay'un. An-nakra fi siyaqi nafi. So in any way, it's not like we. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he mentions any attribute about himself, yes, that attribute is for him, and it is as he has mentioned it. But is it like our own? We say no. So, but is it? How is it? Is it still hand? You can't say, I don't know whether it is hand, though, but you say it is hand. If you say you don't know whether it is hand, though, you are also saying he still does not know what he's saying. Because he said it is hand, so you must believe that it is hand. So you don't say, that's what ulama refers as what? As of weave. I don't know whether it is handled. You must know it is hand. If you say, I don't know whether it is handled, you are making tough weave, and you are not giving nasiha to Allah. You are not being sincere with Allah. You are not giving sincerity to Allah as regards to attributes by which he has described himself to subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if it is hand, yes, it is hand. He said hand. But is it like our hand? We say no. How is the hand? We say we don't know how his hand is. But he said he has a hand, and it is hand. But how is it we don't know? But you don't deny the fact that it is a hand. I say that I don't know whether a hand or not the hand, the only knows that. No, you don't say that. He said hand. And the same thing applies. Like this hand, ulama refer to things like this, or his eyes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as sifatullah al-zatiyah. The attributes of Allah that has to do with his zat, his essence. So because there are also sifat al-fi'liyah, his attributes that have to do with what? Actions. Like that Allah laughs. Allah laughs. Allah is pleased. Allah gets angry. Allah moves. He subhanahu wa ta'ala, he descends from the seven heavens to the first heavens in the way that best suits his majesty. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these attributes, we must believe them. The one who does not believe them has not given nasiha to Allah. It means he has not accepted his deen. So his deen will be defective, as we said earlier, to the extent of the problems he has as far as these issues are concerned. Do we understand? And in some cases, the defects may be so much that it will take him out of Islam. We should be out of Allah's refuge from this rule. So that is from giving nasiha to Allah. So lillahi. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa li kitabihi. We give nasiha to Allah. We also give nasiha to Allah's books. We said that because we said kitab, and kitab has come in the form of what? Mufrad. Like in the scholars of usul, we say this is what they refer to as mufrad in mudaf. Kitabihi. So we say kitab, yam, mudaf, he, this ha, goes back to who? Allah. مضاف إليه. So مفرد مضاف تفيد العموم. مفرد is singular that is appended to كتابه, his book is appended. So it's referring to all of his books. So ولي كتابه, all of his books, we give nasiha to them. We give nasiha to all the books we know, Torah, Injil, Zabur, Suhuf of Nabi Musa, that of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ulama say there are others that we don't know. Like Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah. Isaiah, he mentioned six, but there are others that we don't know their names. He says the ayah in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. We have sent our Anbiya, our Rusul, our messengers, بالبينات, with clear messages. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ. From what we gave to them with the message is the kitab. We gave them books. He said, so every Rasul has a book. But we agree also that all the Rusul are not just six. So if all the Rusul are not just six, from whose books we know, it means all the other Rusul too have books, but he has not just told us about them. So I've told you once that Sheikh Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah is Imam in Istinba. He says, Allah says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَةِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. We sent together, after affirming them that yes, you are a Rasul, you will be receiving wahyu. We give them, take. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. Give them books and the ability to affirm, to establish those laws. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسِ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that they can establish justice amongst people. So, there are other books apart from the six that we know from this verse of the Quran. So from giving nasiha لِكِتَابِهِ, we call up لِكُتُبِهِ, all of his books, is that we believe in those books. We believe in all the revealed books. And we believe in those ones that still we still find in existence, whatever we can confirm from revelation, that this is part of revelation in your book. Because regarding the Jews and the Christians, Allah makes us understand. Say, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلْمَ عَمَّ وَاضِئِهِ وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. It says, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلْمَ, the revelations, the words of Allah in the books, يُحَرِّفُونَهَا, they change the words. The Jews and the Christians, they change what they like from their books. وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, and they forgot majority, large part, حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, of what by which they were reminded in those books. So some of them, they deliberately changed it. Some of them, they forgot. They tend to remember again that Allah had given them those instructions. Which would also mean there are still some remnants. So anything we can find in their books for which we can find confirmation from the Quran, from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say, okay, this is from revelation that is still left. Are still left in your books. But when we can't find anything to affirm it, and they are bringing something, we don't even find anything that negates it in the Sharia, we keep quiet. We will not say yes, we will not say no. But if we find anything in our revelation that makes us understand that that thing they are saying was a lie, we say no, it's a lie. For example, that they come back now and say that the Prophet was killed, we say no, it's a lie. They come back now and say that 3-in-1, we say no, that one is a lie. But those ones for which we don't have negation from our revelations of Quran and Sunnah, but they mention it, just be listening to them. We will not say yes, we will not say no. And those ones for which we can find confirmation from our verse, from our Quran and Hadith, we say yes, that one is from revelation. We affirm it. So this is from giving nasiha to the books of Allah. And then from giving nasiha to the Quran itself, which is the last one. الَّذِي لَا يَعْتِيهِ الْقَاتِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. The one for which there will be no changing. The one regarding which there will be no alteration that had happened to those before it. Whether from within or from behind or from anywhere, no, nothing will affect the Quran. It's there. So how do we give nasiha to the Quran? Ulama say, نُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. We believe that this Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ حَقِيقَةً. Allah spoke it. Really. Allah spoke the Quran. We told us when we are talking about the attributes of Allah that Allah speaks. He has sifatu fi'liya. Attributes that are action-based, all action-based attributes. So from sifatu fi'liya is that he speaks subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will speak wherever he wants to speak. Allah speaks. We must believe that this Quran is from the speech of Allah. Meaning that it is from the attributes of Allah. Because the speech of a person is from the attributes of that person. The speech of Allah
is from the attributes of Allah. We mentioned that so that we'll understand the issue of attributing something to somebody. We are not likening man's speech to the speech of Allah. But the fact that it comes to us easily, that yes, when somebody speaks, you can't differentiate him from his speech. That's how somebody speaks. It makes us understand that it is from his essence. It is from him. And you can't cut it off him. The way each and every one of us here speaks is from him and is from his attributes. He did not create his speech. You do not compare his speech and his cap. Are they not the same in weight, in length? His speech, his cap. His cap is not from him, but his speech is from him. And they are both his. So Allah's creation is not from him, but his speech is from him. So how do you say his speech is his creation? How do you say Allah's speech is his creation? So that is the reason why you can't say Allah created the Quran. Allah spoke the Quran and revealed it. So it is from his attributes. So this is from giving nasiha to the Quran. We have to believe that Allah spoke the Quran. وَتَلَقَّاهُ جِبْرِيلُ بِهِ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And we have to believe that Jibreel عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ brought it to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَتَصْدِيقُ خَبَرِهِ تَصْدِيقًا لَا مِرْيَةَ فِيهِ. We also have to believe the akhbar of the Quran. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكِ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا. When he told us about Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, he said, this information we are giving you, min amra'il ghaib, they are from the information of the unseen. When Nuh came, the Prophet was not there, alayhi salatu wasalam. When Nuh came and spent 950 years, the Prophet was not there. So he says, ma kunta ta'alamuha, you did not know it, O Muhammad alayhi salam. Wa la qawmuka, neither did the people also know it, people of Makkah. They didn't know anything about the story of Nabi Nuh. This part makes us understand. So we have to believe it. Everything he tells us about the stories and the information, the log of the Quran, we have to believe it. So when someone, Allah says, for example, that يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَةِ, that Allah will destroy riba and he will nurture charity. The Muslim now says, look at, but in the Western world, their economy is based on interest and they are living fine. They are eating chicken, drinking alcohol, and there is no NEPA failure. There is water. There is good transportation. They can go on, you know, electronic rail, you know, and all this. So you see, how can you not say that Allah said that يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba, that Allah will destroy riba? Are you doubting the fact that Allah says he will destroy riba? Do you think that at the time of the Prophet, when this book was revealed, there was no enjoyment among the kuffar? What did Allah say? لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَاعٌ. Don't be deceived by the opulence, wealth that the kuffar display. Don't be deceived by it. مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ. They have a little time. Their enjoyment is small. They have a little time to enjoy all of the little time. And that's why, despite all those things, regarding with people like Ahmad Gumi are deceived, the largest number of people who kill themselves are these same Europeans. Regularly they kill themselves. I'm not talking about somebody killing the other. I'm talking about suicide. They commit suicide. Because man is not created of the flesh alone. He says, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. So what is the ruh? What does it enjoy? The qalb, what does it enjoy? If someone is so comfortable regarding his jasad, and his qalb does not really enjoy matters, he will not be feeling enjoyment. Don't forget, إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. Why is that? These people have the greatest part of their qulub in their shirk. So how do you think they are really enjoying? In the real sense of it. They are not
not really enjoying. You only think that they are enjoying. So they kill themselves, they commit all sorts of atrocities. Someone can just sit and take some drugs. Was it not about 2-3 or so years ago, a group of people say, all of them, they want to die. And then, in fact, recently there was another one. Someone was chatting with somebody and now saying that now he wants to kill himself now. And he was showing himself on the video. The people were saying that to him, that you can't kill yourself. He said, no, I will kill myself. He said, no, you can't kill yourself. Right there, he was showing himself on the video. He went and hanged himself. So where is the joy? If they are really happy, they will not wish to die. Because the one who wishes to die is the one from whom we can sense tribulation and grief. And that's why from the science of the last hour is that it says Yamuru Rajulu be covering where Kulu ya letani makana. Somebody will pass beside the grave and will say, how I wish I'm the one inside here. From the sake of that hadith is that the one who wishes to die is the one who is giving mafsoon. He has trials. So from giving the siha to the Quran is believing everything that is in it. Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرِبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. That is how it will be. Whether you can see that now or not, Allah says he will destroy riba and he will nurture charity. That is how it will be. Believe it. And actually, if you follow it up, you see that is how actually it is. Most people who enjoy riba don't end well. Quote unquote, enjoy. Who deal in it, they don't end well. They have real troubles in their life. By the time some of them begin to give their life experiences to you, you pity them with their wealth. So Allah says, don't be deceived by those wealth. So we have to believe in all of what is in the Quran to give nasiha to the Quran. وَأَنْ نُؤْمِنَ بِأَنَّ مَا تَضَمَّنَهُ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ هُوَ خَيْرُ الْأَحْكَامِ وَأَنَّهُ لَا حُكْمَ أَحْسَنُ مِنْ أَحْكَامِ الْقُرْآنِ. We have to believe that the rulings of the Quran are the best of rulings and that there is no ruling that is better than the rulings of the Quran. This is from giving nasiha to the Quran. So someone comes and says, but these people are also enjoying democracy. See, democracy gives them freedom to go on the streets, to demonstrate. Democracy gives them freedom. Everybody can say what he likes. In Islam, not everybody should say what he likes. In Islam, not everybody should say what he likes or can say what he likes. Should say what he likes in terms of injunctions. Can say what he likes, but if he says it, he will regret it. Can someone go on the streets and start shouting that, poor people, tomorrow is Ramadan, fast tomorrow. Or even in the secular world, even in democracy, you can't say what you like. Why do they sue people for libel? They said he abused the president. Recently, Yaradua was bad. I think some people said some things against him. He wanted to take them to court. The court said, no, just leave them. Why are people sued for that? If people can say what they like. During the time of, even in democracy, can someone go to radio tomorrow and say, hello Nigerians, and the new president of Nigeria? He will not sleep in his house that day. Even when he thinks he's a madman. Like during the time of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. We would have known about Hajjaj. Hajjaj bin Yusuf met a man who was very old. So he was asking the man, how are you feeling? What are you feeling about this government of ours? Say, this government. The man is just killing anybody. Things are not easy. You know, people, the man started complaining. Meanwhile, he was talking to Hajjaj, not knowing that he was talking to Hajjaj. He was talking to Hajjaj bin Yusuf, not knowing that he was talking to Hajjaj. The man is oppressive. The man is this. The man is that. So the man just, felt that, why didn't I even ask who is the person asking me questions? So he just stopped and said, please, who are you? He says, I'm Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He says, I'm the madman from that city. I'm the madman that is delayed there. I'm the madman in that village. No, my God, you see all what I have said? I'm a madman. Because he knows he will be the next person that Hajjaj will cut off his head. So Hajjaj just laughed and left the man. So when Hajjaj, Rahimahullah, asked him, then he said, when he asked him, who are you there? I'm Hajjaj. He said, you see me? What village is there? I'm the madman from the village. So you can't say what you like. Does Islam itself allows us to say what we like? He says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul al-khayr." So does the Sharia allow us to say what we like? So why will you be happy that democracy allows you to say what you like if you understand this Sharia of Islam? That even in Islam you can't say what you like. Why will you be pleased that in democracy you can say what you like? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that we must be patient with the difficulties that our leaders place upon us, and that we must not come out in rebellion against them. We've read most of these hadiths in many cities. So someone says, democracy allows you the chance to demonstrate. Someone who understands Islam, will he say that? What you are saying is that you are speaking for the preference of these ideas over the ideas of Islam. So you say Islam gives you opportunity to fight oppression. How? How does Islam say fight oppression? Fight oppression by coming on the streets? Or fight oppression by giving nasiha to the rulers and the leaders? How? Does Islam say fight oppression? He says yes. Min al-jihad, kalimatul haq, inda sultan, al-jai. That from jihad is to say the truth in the front of a tyrant person. Does this say come out on the radio and announce that? Does this say go out on the street and shout that? No! You can write a letter to the Amir. In every honor and respect, you can send a text message to him. Oh, leader, why not say this? Why not do this? Because Allah says, because the Prophet says, is it not called Kalimatul Haq? If the Sultan is Jair also, does it not fulfill this hadith? Does Kalimatul Haq in the Sultan is Jair say go out and then carry a gun, become an MND rebel leader, and then when the Nigerian army started to shoot you, say, oh, they are killing women and children. You say, oh, they are killing you when you are in your town. Should you be in your town and be reckless and irresponsible? No! That is not the way the Sharia is. So the Muslim should not say democracy gives chance to talk. The Sharia does not allow you to say anything you like. Democracy gives you chance to express your opinion. Islam does not allow you to express that opinion just the way you like. Your expressing that to your opinion must also be in line with the ways of the Sharia. Yes, Sharia allows you to marry. Does it mean you grab any girl on the street and put her in the house and say, this is my wife? And when you are told, why did you grab somebody's daughter and put it there? Doesn't the Sharia say we should marry? Yes, Sharia say we should marry. But what? How? So when people make statements say democracy is better than the Sharia of Islam, it's like it's from the most ignorant statement anybody will make. Even the kuffar do not say that. Non-Muslims do not ever say that. The sensible ones anyway. Yes, because we don't make it tibar. You do not give consideration. Al Imam Shafi, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, "Mana kashtu jahilan illa galaban, aw safihan." He says, "Mana kashtu safihan illa galaban, wa mana kashtu hakiman illa galabtuhu." He says, alayhi rahmatullah, a stupid person never discussed the matter with me except that he defeated me. Imam Shafi'i. You know how? Alayhi rahmatullah. So you just keep silent for me. Go with your stupidity. You are talking about 1 plus 1. He's talking about 1 plus 6. Should you go ahead with the discussion? So he agreed with who? He will just leave the discussion for him. Unfortunately, in his stupidity, he would think that he made victory over the Imam. And he said, man, I touched to Hakiman. I'd never discussed with somebody who was wise, illa galabtuhu, except that I defeated him. So you don't make deep consideration to the speech of a stupid, of an imbecile. No. So when we say even the kuffar, we say the intelligent ones amongst them itself, they will not say that their democracy is better than Islam. So why should somebody who says ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, someone who truly believes this statement will not say that, if he knows the implications of what he says, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulillah, will not say that, that he prefers democracy, and that democracy is better than the rule of Khulafa ur-Rashidun. I think it's from the levels of stupidity that people can attain for a person to say that. And yet he thinks that, you know, my father was a scholar, means I must be a scholar. Unfortunately, Ikhwan, if you take some time to read the book Where I Stand by Sheikh Ahmad Gumi, Sheikh Mahmoud Gumi was saying that from the worst laws human beings have ever done for themselves is this democratic, this government people have established for themselves, aside the Sharia of Islam. This is what your father is saying. You come today and say that democracy is better than the period of Khulafa ur-Rashidun. There is some insensibility, there is some madness attached to that statement. Allah understand. So from giving nasiha to the book of Allah, the Quran, is that we believe that it is the best, and then we act upon its commands, and then we leave its prohibitions. We read the Quran. From reading the Quran regularly with tajweed, many of us, many brothers, up till now, we still cannot read the Quran the way it was revealed. Tamim ibn Awsin was in Islam for 1 year before the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam. He learned, he memorized the Quran. Many Muslims today don't learn that. Especially those of us who usually say we are from Ahlul Sunnah. We don't take time to learn the Quran the way it should be read. The way it should be read with tajweed. Let's give it time. Let's give it time. Let's not postpone it. Start now. People like Abu Bakr and Siddiq were over 40 years old when they accepted Islam. And yet they learned these things. Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, these were elders, Zubair ibn Awam, these were elders among the companions. And yet they learned the Quran. So don't say I'm too old. It's not too old. It's never too late. And it will not take you time. Maximum 3 months. You have become a lord over what was a lord over you in the last 3 months. Because whatever you don't know is a lord over you. Just give it time. 1 hour, 2 hours, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, it's okay. You follow it up with practice. Then you become better. But to continue to run on the streets, yeah, we are Salafi or we are Adisunal Jaman, not learning these basic things does not speak well. So this is from giving nasiha to the Quran, likitabihi. وَالْجَبُّ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيثَ الْمُبْتِلِينَ. Also, we are going to preserve the Quran, defend the Quran. So when people like Gumi make these statements, to give them rudud is from giving nasiha to Islam. It's from giving nasiha, rudud, reputation, to speak against it. And say, no, what you are saying goes against, there are worse things in his statement. He said, everything that is good is from Islam. Everything from which you find benefit is from Islam. Anything that you find benefit and Islam has not mentioned it as beneficial, know that the fact that it contains benefit is evidence that it is in Islam. This statement may appear right. It may appear right. But he said the second one too. He said, everything that is evil is not in the Quran, is not from Islam. Even if there is a revelation in the Quran and the Sunnah that we find to be evil, it's in his statement. If you find it to be evil, it is not from Islam. This is the basis of his prayer, meaning Allah say, yanhaqullahu riba, that Allah will destroy riba. So from that falsafa of his, that even when it appears from the Quran, the riba is prohibited, There are things that make us understand that riba is beneficial and as such from Islam. Do we understand it, Falsafa?
No.
So these are the kind of evil. When someone prefers the text over his, prefers the intellect over his, the text, he will go astray. And I don't think the Mu'tazila are these things that are worse. This is just it is that. Taqdeemul aql ala naql. Preference for intellect over the text of the Quran. Didn't Allah tell us in the Quran that there is some fawaid in alcohol? Didn't he say that to us? So he's telling us that what? The evil, akbaru means nothing half. That the evil in it is greater than its good. So there are some things in which you find some good, but with reasonable thoughts, from reasonable head, you find out that it still has some evils. When the evil is greater than the good, you then drop the good, you drop that good, it does not become a good again. Because the evil has an overriding effect over the said good. So why doesn't he drink alcohol? Of course, because the Quran says it has some benefits. But why doesn't he sell alcohol? Because the sin of riba is worse than the sin of alcohol. You know, sins have levels too. The sin of riba is worse than the sin of alcohol. So you want the MD of a brewery is better than the manager of a bank. If someone takes a job in the brewery, now people say, Subhanallah, Ya Rasulallah, they start asking all so many things. But if someone takes a job in the bank, they will say, MashaAllah. But the other one is better than him in the sight of Allah. Ta'ahlahu ma'mur. The best of them is even bad too. So, but because this one has some money, meanwhile, these days, the breweries too make more money. They, in fact, they contest in the stock market, they contest with banks. Banks of their stocks are weightier in some cases than the stocks of the banks. These breweries, they pay high too. When they buy land, they pay a lot of money. And the government collects a lot of tax from them, not like it seriously taxes the banks. But as other people consider these, they are better than those people working in the bank. If someone opens a store now and say, come and do dinner here, I will say. People say, Subhanallah, it's not here, it's not this, it's not that. But if somebody opens a bank, they say, Allahu Akbar, this building is being used for a bank. But that one that has opened an office for dinner is better than the one who has opened the bank for you. The one who opens a bar for Auzubillah for Zina is better than the one who opens an office for Iba. 30 times. So you can see you. So when a Sanusi Lamido takes an office as CBN governor, people send congratulations message to him. Send congratulations message also to the chairman of Nigerian Breweries. Send congratulations message also to the one who has opened the Zina office. Thank you for bringing many girls from some parts of the country that are known for things like this to this place to come and be doing Zina. Thank you. Would any right-thinking Muslim say that? So because people should be putting their priorities and say, when the girls are, you change it to Islam. When the girls who get to the Zina office, she will change Zina to Islam. Can Zina ever be changed to Islam? Other than that, you repent and come out of Zina. The same way the riba can never be converted to Islam, unless you come out of it. You come out of riba, you do not gain anything from it. In fact, what he's going to take is Fudul Amwali. He is going to take Ru'us Amwalihim. He says, Salamu Ru'us Amwalihim. They are going to take their capital. Someone has from legal business 100 naira. He invests it into a bank. He gains 1 million. The day he wants to make power from riba, he will take only the 100 naira before that with which he started the business. All the rest is not for him. because it is money from blood. And in the hadith of Tamra bin Jundub, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, very lengthy hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, that the way the people who consume this riba will be punished on the day of Qiyamah, that the Prophet said in his dream, actually what happened, the Prophet dreamt, alayhi salam, and the dreams of the Anbiya is wahi, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. When the Anbiya dreamt of something, it is wahi, it is revelation, as if Allah is talking to them. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was to kill his son, he says, Ni ara fil manami an ni adbauka. So the dreams of the Prophet of Allah is from revelation to them. So the Prophet dreams, alayhi salatu wasalam. After Salatul Asr, he will ask his companion, who dreamt of something? Tell us. You slept in the night or after Zuhr? Tell us what you dreamt of. So that day, nobody dreamt of anything. Nobody said he dreamt of anything. So the Prophet said, I dreamt of something. Two angels came and they took me on a journey. So he was describing the different aspects of the journey. From it is that they saw a man lying in a pool of blood, in a river of blood. This man attempts to come out of the river. There is a man standing at the river boundary. Each time this man attempts to come out, he stones his mouth. He stones him with boulders of rocks, and then he falls back into the blood. Each time he attempts to come out, he stones him, he falls back into the blood. At the end of the journey, the Prophet said, I asked my two companions who took me upon the journey, who was that person? Says the one who consumes riba. It is thinking that this is the way they will be punished in their graves. They will be made to swim in the river of blood. And they will be stoned in the, as they attempt to come out, they will be stoned in it. As they attempt to come out, they will be stoned in it. And this is how they will be. And don't forget, from Azab al-Qabr is that some people with their punishments will continue until the day of Qiyamah. So people should know what riba is. Riba is real, real, real evil. So from giving nasiha to the Quran is, don't prefer, don't say that it's one thing Quran said, but don't say but to Quran. Let the Quran explain itself. Let the Sunnah explain the Quran. Let the companions and what they did and what they were upon explain the Quran. But when you begin to bring your own thoughts, and I think, then you find yourself where you do not expect. We ask Allah to save us from this kind of evil, from which the kind of Ahmad Guni have fallen into. And then when they come to Sukhadil, that kind of rabbis, they come and start telling to the people that Allah said riba will be destroyed, and now we are still saying riba. So Allah is lying. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa li rasulihi, the same thing, all his rusul. We believe in them. Those ones he mentioned, the one he didn't mention. We believe in all the rusul. And that they came with books, they came with guidance, they came with sharia, to guide mankind. And the last of them that came was the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ رَسُولٌ حَقٌّ. We believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually a messenger of Allah. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِكُلِّ مَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ مِنَ الْأَخْبَارِ الْمَاضِيَةِ. All of what the Prophet told us from the narrations of those who had come before us, we believe in it. He said three people came into a cave. They were blocked in the cave. Each of them started to make dua. And the cave was opening gradually. We believe it. A man from those who had gone past, he killed 99 people. He met a worshipper and asked him, what do I do? He said, Allah will not forgive you, kill him too. We believe it. All of these information from those who have come before us, we believe it. We also believe it, Ikhwan, that food gets poisoned now because Bani Israel, they were hiding manna wa salwa. There's a hadith and it's authentic. From that, they were told, eat the food, don't hide it. They started to hide the food. And Allah made it to become poison. The Prophet said from there, the food started getting poison. He mentioned something on the menstruation of women too. You remember the hadith? No one remembers the hadith. He mentioned something on the menstruation of women. He didn't link it to our mother, Hawa. He also linked it to Bani Israel. Perhaps by next week will tell us about this hadith. It's important we know the hadith. Because
they go against some of what we know from what we I can refer to as modern knowledge and research. Like the hadith that makes us understand that food gets poisoned. It means that before that time, the food was not getting poisoned. The hadith is authentic. We believe in it because the Prophet said it. Also, all his commands, we obey them as much as we are able, and his prohibitions, we leave them totally. Also, we defend his sharia. Tabu an shari'atihi. No one speaks something against the sharia of Islam. No, it's not like that. This. Because some people say, these Salafi people, every day they are saying that somebody is doing this. Every day they are saying that. Yes, azab and deen is from deen, it's from nasiha. So this one has brought an innovation. No matter who that person is, so and so has done an innovation. Because if you keep silent, I keep silent, she keeps silent, every person keeps silent, the thing will be considered like a deen. Meanwhile, it is not from deen. So it must be told that this thing is not from Islam. If you say it is from Islam, then bring evidence that it is from Islam. So this is from the rights of the messenger of Allah and part of giving nasiha to Islam. وَتَخَلُّكُ بِأَخْلَاقِهِ وَتَعَدُّبُ بِأَدَابِهِ. We take after the character of the Prophet Muhammad. When he drinks, he sits. When he stood up for necessity. He could not have sat down. At the times, he drank the water. And that's why alayhi salatu wasalam, as easy and as loving as he is to believers, he told the one who had drunk, he said, go and vomit the water. The companion drank while standing. The Prophet said, vomit it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. If it is just recommended to drink while standing, will he tell someone who had already drunk water to vomit the water? In other riwayah, he asked him, do you want a cat to drink with you? If it was just recommended to drink while sitting, will he tell somebody that he wants a cat? Or in another riwayah, a dog. Want to drink water with a dog? The set of animals he would have commanded us to kill, were it not that they were an ummah. So, from his akhlaq, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he drank sitting down. When he drank standing, he did not have a choice. He had to drink standing. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And other aspects of Islam is akhlaq. When he deals with people, he's easy with them. He talks to, and he gets annoyed when someone wants to do anything against Islam. You see his eyes become red. Even his companions. When they went for Hajjatullah Wida, in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, the Prophet told them to make tamattu. After they made Umrah, he told them, remove your clothes and go into a state of haram. The state you were in before you took Ihram. The companions did not want to be received, but then you are free to hadith with your wife. The companions said, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we came to Hajj not because we want to be coming to deal with women now. We leave them purely, we want to worship. Prophet said, deal with your women, relate with them, feel free. There were still some hesitants, radiallahu anhu. His eyes became red. When he entered, Aisha said, Prophet, something has happened. What's happening? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, what is wrong with the people? When they are commanded to do something, they hesitate. You know why he was annoyed? He told them to do something, they are hesitating. Not that they are hesitating that they don't want to do it, but they are thinking that, but we want to do more. He said, no, do this one. This is from evidence that don't think that Islam is based upon intelligence. Islam is based upon Nusus Shari'iyah from the Prophet Muhammad. No matter how you think you are holy, if he says do this, like alayhi salatu wasalam, he said men and women, they make tawaf. The women make tawaf, men make tawaf. He did not say men should make tawaf in the morning, women should make tawaf in the night. They make tawaf together. But in Salah, he said the women should stay behind, men should stay in front. So don't mix it up. Don't say the woman should become the imam. They should be at the back. And where he has left them, وَمَكَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. Allah did not forget. Leave them. Where he has said they should do something, make them do it. So don't think the game goes ahead, but in my thinking, I think that this one is better. What does the text say? The Prophet gets annoyed, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he says, mukhalafat al-shari'ah. Mukhalafat al-shari'ah. Someone makes mukhalafat al-shari'ah, the Prophet is annoyed, alayhi salam. Take after this character. Be annoyed when someone makes mukhalafat al-shari'ah. Be happy when someone makes a hiya of sunnah. Be happy. Someone revives a sunnah, be happy. Someone forgets a sunnah, be sad. And you should have done so. And you feel you are living this sunnah? You feel you are living this sunnah? You do it. This is from giving nasiha. So, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that also is kira'atu kalamihi wa ta'allumihi. Reading his words and then learning it. وَتَعْلِمْهُ And also teaching it, teaching hadith, reading hadith. It's from giving nasiha to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلِأَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ And the leaders of the Muslims. There are two types of leaders amongst the Muslims. الْعُلَمَاءُ الْمُبَيِّنُونَ Those scholars who explain Islam, they are from our leaders. They are from the leaders of the Muslims. وَالْمُنْسِذُونَ And those who carry out, who implement the Sharia. Someone did dinner, take her to the court. Those people who implement it, they are from the leaders of the Muslims. So there are two groups of leaders. Al-Ulama wal-Umara. The scholars and the people of authority, they are from the leaders of the Muslims. We give ikhlas, we give sincerity to them. From loving them, loving these leaders, the scholars, you love them. وَمُسَاعَدَتُهُمْ فِي بَيَانِ الْحَقِّ Helping them to explain the truth. From this is, you know there are certain truths they say, but people do not know it. How you can tell those people? Or perhaps they wrote some books regarding certain matters. People do not know about it. Tell the people about it. Or they say some things, you have the opportunity to record it, and people do not know about it, they need to know it. Listen to them, listen to it. So all these are ways of helping them to spread the truth. You help them to spread the truth. This was specifically mentioned by Sheikh Uthaymeen, alayhi rahmatullah. That helping them to spread the truth is from giving the siha to them. Also from that is, azzabu an a'radihim. So you do not allow people to be abusing them. You do not say, someone says Sheikh Al-Albani is kafir. I say, look, prove that he's kafir. The person can't prove it. He say, look, you too, you have problem. And then people come here, because people like Al-Albani, that's why they are saying, did you not read that Adilu Nasiha? Lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi wa li a'immatil muslimin. That from giving Nasiha to this scholar, dead and alive, is that we do not condone such things. And then people say, if you say that one is a kafir, bring every question, what are you saying that? You want to make us say, no, that is not it. That one has its own place. What we are saying is that the person who says, who is mentioning the scholars, that this one is kafir, this one is kafir, there is no evidence to say that they are kufar. So when you know that there is no evidence to say that they are kufar, and what he says does not stand any proof, does not stand any test of time, why do you still encourage and begin to bring such persons to come and discuss in your masjid? Come and teach us, come and tell us something. And then when someone stands up and says, no, what such a person is doing is wrong, let's not allow him. You say, no, don't be an extremist. You are not giving nasiha to a'immatul muslimin by so doing. So, Abdabu an Arab will defend. We defend their honor, the honor of the scholars. And وَأَنْتَ دُلَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ خَيْرِ مَا يَكُونُ فِي دَعْوَةِ النَّاسِ If you have an idea regarding which, if I tell this person to do so thing, people will be better guided to tell him, tell the imam, tell those people who are in the position, please, why not we say so thing? Why not we, it's part of giving nasiha. What if we discuss so matter? What is so thing is mentioned? Please, what is so thing? The way Jibreel did, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yeah, he knew it. Yes, he was asking. So someone could know something, but he knows that many people around him who are in the sitting do not know it. And he asks it so that the explanation will make those people who didn't know it before to know it. Or he goes behind and says, "Madam, please, so people are doing so things. Can you please explain it?" Or people, so things come out with people. Can you please explain so? Can you please do so? Or that so people say you say so thing. Can you please give clarification? This is part of giving nasiha to the Imam. The same thing the Umara, the Ulama say from giving nasiha to the Umara is that al-i'tiqadu imamatihim. Al-i'tiqadu imamatihim. We believe that they are our leaders. Because you will not be sincere in your mind. You don't believe that he's your leader. How will you be able to give him sincere advice? Do we understand? When you don't believe that somebody is your leader, can you be sincere when you're, even when you're like, if he likes to take it, he doesn't, because you don't believe that he's the leader. If you truly believe that he's the leader, your manner and approach of giving him that advice will not be, if he likes, let him take it, if he don't like, let him not take it. It will not be like that. It will be a sincere way, with every zeal and dua, that kind of a leader should follow that advice that you give to him. So ulama also say, from that is also nashru mahasinihim. Nashru mahasinihim sirra'iyya. The ulama or the leaders have done some good things. Spread it amongst the people. People say that these scholars, they are government paid. And they are always praising the government that they are establishing salah. Yes, it's from the Sharia of Islam. Good things they do, tell the people they have done good things. And advise them, tell the people the good things they have done, and advise the leaders regarding the shortcomings. A learned person who wants to advise government does not need to come on the mimbar. Usama ibn Zayd, the son of Zayd ibn al-Haritha, the companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, radiallahu anhuma, he was around at the time of people like Marwan ibn Hakam, under whom Hajjaj ibn Yusuf served. So people will go to him and they will say to him, that, "Why are you going and be advising this leader? You are advising them. You are not advising this leader. And you are a companion." And he will say to them, رَبِّي اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَتُرِيدُونَ أَنْ أُحَدِّثَكُمْ بِكُلِّ مَا أُحَدِّثُ الْخَلِيفَةِ أَتُرِيدُونَ أَنْ أُحَدِّثَكُمْ بِكُلِّ مَا أُحَدِّثُ الْخَلِيفَةِ. Do you people want me to be telling you everything that I tell the Khulafa? You want me to be doing that? We are not trained like that by the Prophet Muhammad. Unfortunately, people will think that, and the scholars are keeping quiet. You see, they are keeping quiet. They are keeping quiet. Recently, Khan sent, when Ondo State crisis went on, Khan made a release that if the woman lost her job or something, they will call all the Christians in Nigeria to go against the government of Omar Oyaradua. You remember this matter? And the next, there are some brothers, Muslims, started saying, you see, the crowd, they started shouting, "We Muslims, what are we going to do? Are we not going to shout our own? Are we not going to be saying our own too? Is it only time that we'll be talking?" So if you want to make dalil for the reason why you have to shout is because Khan is shouting. What kind of Islam is that? You want to shout because Khan is shouting. Not because you should shout. But unfortunately, our deen has not permitted that. So people say, but the scholars are keeping quiet. Very recently, one of the learned people, Hafizahullah, sent a text message to one of the leaders regarding a serious matter. And if you read the content, you say, subhanAllah, this kind of a thing has been happening for long ago, and people saying scholars keep quiet. So they will be singing, thinking that they are doing something good. You know how they are singing? They are saying scholars keep quiet when scholars are actually talking. But because they expect that the scholars will come on the mimbar and start listing those people, listing their names and all these, that is not from the way of the powers to discuss us. But the scholar comes from the middle of the job and say, "We will curse them. We will rain Allah's curses on them. If you rain Allah's curses on him, his heart will become stronger and you will become worse." Do we understand? You curse a leader, may Allah destroy him, may Allah make him be bad, may Allah make him enter empire.
No problem. His heart will be stronger and he will punish you the more. In fact, for you to know that your prayer was answered is that the next day he will arrest you. You that leader. You that imam. When he arrests you, just know that it is your cause that is working. Because he didn't pray that he should be guided. So when you cursed him, he arrested you and dealt with you, imprisoned you, killed people, do anything in life. So when you see somebody doing this, you know it's from the symbols of innovation. That a learned person comes to the member and begins to cause leaders, shout on them, abuse them, it's not from the way of Al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. So when Usama ibn Zayd was told, are you not going to advise, he said, Aturiduna, an uhadithakum bi kulli ma uhadithu al-Khalifa, you want me to be telling you everything that I'm telling the Khalifa? So the same way, of course, the other way, if the Khalifa is doing something good, the ulama should say, that this scholar, this person is doing something good, is doing something good, is doing something good, is doing something. The other way around that some of the leaders have done now, and they are doing now, is when they recognize somebody who is abusing them on the member, they send 10 million to him. And all the abuse will just change. You say, I will use it for doing dawah. After all, it's our money. Is that justifying that 10 million? So when they see someone is cursing them, they do not be better for you. Do not be used for you. I like seeing a maka and say, we know it's a problem now. They used to say amongst themselves, you don't mind him, it's because he's hungry. They now know those systems. Some politicians, they now know. They now when the scholar is abusing them, yenaji unwa. It's because he's hungry. So it is not from nasiha. Nasiha is you spread their good and you advise them regarding their negatives to them one to one and pray for Allah to guide them whether on the minbar or any other place. One thing that's common in Saudi Arabia is you hardly pray behind any imam in Salatul Jummah and he will not pray for their ear. It's difficult. And almost every imam. You say, oh Allah, better the affairs of the people. Allah ma aslih ra'iya, aslih ra'i, Allah ma. You'll be praying, Allah protect this land, don't allow evil to come into it, don't allow. People will say, see now they are praying because the government gives them money. No, because Islam wants them to do that. Pray for the leader so that when they change, the land will be changed. And when you curse them, they will not change, and more evil will spread on the land. So that is from giving nasiha to them. From that also is Adamul Khuruj alayhim. Don't come out and say, we know we'll be crashing on the street. Don't come out and do that. Because if you do that, before that, in fact, people don't do that except that they would have started shouting that these are either they're useless people. We shall not punish them. So when you do that and you come out, they will just tell their soldiers, please pull out the tank, kill you a little. You know, yesterday, in Iran, there was these Shia people. They have elections. They are demonstrating and shouting now. Their leader was telling them last Friday that if you continue with this, we'll order the army to come out and shoot some of you. You reduce your number. We know those people that are left on the ground. So it is common. This is the way leaders are. So from giving nasiha to them, don't come out. Don't be shouting. Don't come out. Beg Allah. What did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? He says, fast eat. He says, ask Allah ma lakum. He says, ask Allah your rights. If you can't get your rights from there, ask Allah your own rights. So this is the way to do nasiha to these people. The others are the generality of the Muslims, all the rest of the brothers. They are not scholars and they are not umara. They are not leaders. They are not political office leaders. They are not people of authority and they are not scholars. How do you deal with them? You guide them. Irshaduhum ila masalihim. You guide them to things that bring benefits to them. Whether in this world and in the hereafter. Kaful adha anhum. Anything that you know will bring harm to them. You put it away from them. And amruhum bil ma'rufi wa nahyuhum anil munkar. You command them to do good and you discourage them from doing evil. This is part of giving nasiha to ammatul muslimin. There is a rank and file of the Muslims, generality of Muslims. So you see that this hadith, like Imam al-Nawawi said, alayhi rahmatullah, is full of Islam. When you deal with Allah like that, as we have mentioned, You deal with the Prophet like that. You deal with the books like that. Salallahu alayhi wa sallam. You deal with the generality of the Muslims like that. You deal with the leaders like that. The scholars. You see that all of Islam is engaged in this hadith. So you see, it is from what the Imam said, ayah rahmatullah. It's from the jawami'ul kalim of the Prophet. Little words, a lot of meaning. All what you've been trying to explain all this while is just one line. And we've been talking, you can go on. For each of them is a subject in food. So if the Prophet is giving jawami'ul kalim, he will speak little words, but it is what? Containing a lot of meanings. This is from the benefit Allah has given to the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, Rawahu Muslim. This hadith was reported by Imam al-Muslim. But in other nusakh, in other compilations of this book, they will say, Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Now, Imam Bukhari reported it. So it is not from the usul. The time has gone. We intended to speak some little about mu'allaqat of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. It is not all the hadiths in Bukhari are not of the same level. In Sahih Bukhari. So this is, but this one, that Adin al-Nasiha, is reported by Imam al-Bukhari in the form of a mu'allaq. That is a hadith that, yes, it's a hadith, but he will not mention those who have reported the hadith. And that's how you go to Sahih Bukhari, you will not see. He's saying that he will say, Haddathana Muhammad ibn al-Musanna, Haddathana on and on, Shu'bah, like that. For this one, he did not mention it, he just brought the hadith. That kind of a hadith is reported as what? Hadith on Mu'allaq. We could also say, Qala Abu Huraira, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also Mu'allaq because he will not mention what is between him and Abu Huraira. This kind of hadith that you see in Bukhari, they are called Mu'allaq. Their strength is not like the strength of those you are going to see Hadithana or An or Qala, then he will narrate the chain of narration. There are different kinds of hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Perhaps sometimes, but when we would have gone some more further into our learnings, we hope someday we'll be able to discuss some of these matters in greater details. The reason why we have mentioned it is, if you see anybody writing a Rawah al-Bukhari wa Muslim, now Rawah al-Bukhari mu'allaqan wa Muslim. Bukhari has reported it in the mu'allaq form, and Imam Muslim reported it full. So whichever one, if it's Bukhari a Muslim, alhamdulillah. If it's Rawah Muslim alone, also alhamdulillah. So there is no problem regarding the two. I hope this lengthy discussion for today is better understood than it is said. I ask Allah to make us understand it better than we have said it. Kullu ma akullu hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Perhaps we can take one or two questions, inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And which one to reach the you're supposed to read in the right point or read the normal way of reading that you have.
Okay. We'll take the question, shall we? I'll prefer the questions that are connected to these discussions. Four. Walaikum
salam. In the course of your explanation, you then mentioned that part of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you love. So I overheard a man also saying that Allah gives. You now brought the idea that transpired between the Musa alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said he wanted to see Allah and Allah asked him to look at the mountain as well.
Did Allah say in that verse or in any hadith regarding, the Prophet said in any hadith regarding that matter that Allah was joking? Because all those words must be used. The words must be used. That is, if you say, Allahu yadhak, Allah laughs, the word dhak must be used. If he says, yafrah, that word must be used. Allah is happy. He says Allah is happy over the repentance of his slave than any of you will be happy. And then he started saying, يفرح الله بتوبة أحدكم أو بتوبة عبده. Allah is glad. Allah is happy over the repentance of one of his servants, and then he starts mentioning those things. So Farah is mentioned. The same thing, being annoyed, to hate something. He says, "In takfuru fa inna Allah ghaniyun antum wa la yarda ridha." It means Allah is pleased. "Wa la yarda li'ibadihi al-kufr wa in tashkuru yardahu lakum." In takfuru fa inna Allah ghaniyun antum. If you disbelieve, Allah does not need you. He can do without you, and he does without you. You don't do anything to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرُ. And he's not pleased that his servants disbelieve him in him. وَإِن تَشْكُرُ يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you give thanks to him, he will be pleased with you. So Allah is pleased. So all these attributes, we must have them. If someone says Allah jokes, we ask, is that word joke, does it exist in the kisa between Musa alayhi salam while he said that he wanted to see Allah? Does it occur, that word joke? Al-Mazh? I don't know that. Allahu Alam. Alaykum As-Salaam.
My second question is, I have a friend, I work in a bank. So sometimes he comes to me to help him, in the market I find in the bank. So sometimes he comes to me to help him get customers so as to get up with his target.
He's prohibited. And we are sharing from his punishment. From two angles, we ask Allah to forgive all of us and you. The first angle is ta'awun ala al-ithmi wal udwan, helping to cooperate or cooperating regarding sin. That is one angle. The other angle is when he does that, you directed him and the other person to that evil. So you also get from the sin of that person who does that evil, apart from the sin of cooperating upon evil. Do you understand? The first one is cooperating upon evil. The second one is guiding somebody to an evil. There are two different things. So this is the way the sins come from things like this. The best is not to do it. It's not the matter of the best. It is obligatory that one does not do it. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ. May Allah's punishment, may Allah's curse, or Allah curses آكِلَ الرِّبَى, the one who consumes riba, وَمُوكِلَهُ, the one who gives people to consume, وَكَاتِبَهُ, the one who writes it. These people say, no, they are not the one giving riba. You are writing the riba, you are included. وَشَاهِدَهُ, and the one who witnesses it. He's a witness to it. Bank want to borrow somebody money. You give him collateral. They say you should bring somebody and now you are the one signing it. It's La'an Allahu alayk. May Allah save us from his cause. La'anatullah is ib'ad an rahmatihi. Now someone is put away from the mercy of Allah. That is the meaning of la'ana. If you hear that la'anatullah ala khada wal fulan, na'udhu billah min la'anatihi, the meaning is that Allah takes, may Allah take that person away from his mercy. And if Allah takes anyone away from his mercy, to whose mercy will that person be left? Whose mercy? To whose mercy will he be left? We ask Allah to protect us all and forgive our mistakes. Alaykum as-salam. Don't take it, it's prohibited. And encourage him not to continue with that evil, so that he does not burn in the fire if Allah does not forgive him. Alaykum as-salam. Ulama say keeping the money in the bank is helping the bank too. If you don't have a choice, you just have to keep the money in the bank. Keep it in the bank and remove it as much as is possible. Keep the money in the bank only when you can't keep it in the house. Do with the bank what you can do without. What you can do without the bank, don't have anything to do with the bank. What you can't do with the bank, do with them. These days, from the things that are difficult not to do away with the bank is, for example, international money transfer. You have to do with the bank. Somebody is in Lagos, he wants to send money to you. These days, you have to send the money to the bank. You go and collect it. So things like that, don't leave one cupboard there. Collect all the money. Let's call the money. Even when the best is, if you can find someone to bring that money to you from an international country or from Lagos or from wherever the money is being transferred, use that means. Don't use the bank. Use the bank only when you don't have an alternative. Whenever you have an alternative, don't use the bank. Allahu Alam. Because using the bank too is an act of sin. Ulama say when you open one bank account, you strengthen the bank. That's why they encourage people to come and open an account. Once you open an account, you are strengthening the bank, whether you put money in it or not. To avoid having anything to do with the bank as much as possible. If your company asks you, will you collect money from cash office or from bank, tell them cash office. And most of these things, when we do them, Allah himself will be protecting us. Wallahi. If you keep your money with you, Allah will be protecting you. Those people who disturb people who have wealth, Allah will protect you. They won't even think of you. Is it not those people who keep money in the bank that they go and meet in the house? Why did they go to their house when they know that they keep money in the bank? Look at. And as we know here, cases, people say that the banks are not organized, people to go and get robbed. There are a lot of things people say. Allahu Alam. Alaykum salam.
When we look at today that many people cannot meet the government directly, and others do it in the form of calling on the newspaper.
You don't speak the evils of government in the newspaper. If you can't meet the government directly, you can meet the Lord of the government, the one who created that government. If you can't talk to the government directly, you don't have his phone number, you don't have his email address, Allah's one is there. That one doesn't need email. Pray to Allah, guide this man. And that is from the best of dua. Pray for your brother Muslim when he does not answer in guide. When he does not know. Believe all these things without shouting them in the newspaper. And yeah, dua na sit down. So they become hard and then they deal with the people the more. But when you pray that Allah guides them, they will be guided and they will change. Allah understand. Alaykum salam. It's bad to read it and enjoy it. If you read it, don't enjoy it. If you have to read it, don't enjoy it. Don't enjoy it. Alaykum salam. If you have opportunity to speak against it, speak against it. Alaykum salam. If the leader is a kafir and you can't change him, you live with him the way you live with the Muslim leader who is oppressive. That's what the ulama say. Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, that's what he says in Fathul Bari. You live with those leaders the way you live with the leaders of the Muslims. The only time you disobey them is when they say, for example, don't pray, don't give zakah, don't go for Hajj. One leader comes last summer and says, oh, people should not go for Hajj in Nigeria. If you have opportunity to sneak through Nijay and go, go. Because la ta'ata lil makhluq fi ma'siyat al-khaliq. So when they command us against Allah's command now, but when they are not commanding us against Allah's command, but they appear to be oppressive and hard, follow them and they pray that Allah makes the things easy, that Allah changes their heart so that they too will change. But most of the times people get the kind of leader the way they are. It is from the leaders, the way the people are, that is the kind of leadership they get. People say Nigerian leaders are corrupt, Nigerian leaders are corrupt. The average Nigerian is corrupt. Just talk to students in higher institutions. If you become president of Nigeria, can you steal Nigeria's money? I remember very well, the student was a student from FUT Mina when we were in the university. You ask him, can you steal? He said, you will sell all and even the chair with which you will sit. The day that you will give broadcast like this, you will sell it. You will sell everything in Nigeria. He says even in Nigerians, if people abroad will be ready to buy Nigeria. So that same person comes and says that Obasanjo was stealing money. So and so was doing this. So that and that was doing that. Even you yourself, if you have the opportunity, you'll be worse. This is how many people are today in this kind of country that we live. So that is the way they get, that is the kind of leaders they have gotten. Recently, one of the people in Senate bought a private jet for himself about 4 or 5 days ago. Brothers, you don't know what's going on in Nigeria. Each time I mention some of these things, you make me sick. I keep telling you news. Private jet.
And he was asked that, how are you going to take care of this 5 million? Is it not expensive? He said, no. But it is the money with which he services his modern Toyota is bigger than the money with which he will be servicing the debt. If we accept that what he has said is the truth, the question is how much are they using to service their Toyota that is bigger than the money to service private debt? And the people can't even eat 3 square meals. What we will say is we pray Allah make it easy for us. So eat is from the hands of Allah. The leaders are just there. It is Allah who feeds the people. Alaikum as-salam. Please, the last, we'll go back to this question, the last question. Alexa, the last question from the matters of this discussion, the last question will be from you, inshallah. The last answer to you, inshallah.
Regarding Hamadun, for the fact that he brings different masala almost every year. Now, if at all to make Nasir to him, what form of Nasir should be done to him and to those who listen to him or not hear him?
What form of Nasir can be done to Ahmad Gumi? Ahmad Gumi la yuhibbu nasihin. He does not like any Nasiha. Don't ask how. Before he made this statement, I wrote a letter to him. But look what he has said, these are the implications, these are the implications, these are the implications. I think that what you have said is a slip of tongue from which nobody is completely free. I ask Allah to forgive you and I. Please, seek Allah's forgiveness and turn away from this statement. The next reply is, brother, stop rhetorics. He replied to me. He said, I should stop rhetorics. He started to explain, to tell me that, look, that was when he now mentioned Khulafa ur-Rashidun. Now what he's saying, he knows what he's saying, he's not denying it. Many other people have written too against him. He's still saying the same thing that he's saying upon. People like these, their condition should be told to the Muslims. The evil in them should be revealed to the Muslims. We pray to Allah to guide him. If he does not want him guided, he should leave him away from us and free us of his evil. Do you understand? So people like that, people should be made to know their evil. That is the essence of saying things like that. Because people say, Sheikh Igumi, Ahmad Gumi is coming for tafsir. We are going for tafsir. Know that you are going to listen to a dangerous tafsir. So that is the essence of things like, we should tell the people, make people know who he is. Alayka illa al-balag. And stop there. Allahu Akbar. Well, Kunut.
One.
We'll answer only one. That is the one for which you have a promise. What is it about?
We read again from Ali, the reply we want to clarification on
the rich. That's what? Clarification on what?
The rich that the community supposed, how is it supposed to be read? Is it supposed to be read in the right form or the normal dwell?
Kunun, unfortunately, people recite so many things. If it is your Kunun in your Witr, it has a figure that's reported. Yes, some ulama say, after that figure that is reported, you can say your own personal ad-iyah. And you make those, your own personal dua. And you make those personal dua according to your ability. Dua does not have to be as if you are singing Arabic poems. It does not have to be as if you are singing poems. So, don't have any, and then there is an innovation regarding that. This joint army is Zida. To say army jointly in these kunun is not known in the Sharia. It's like dua is like zikrul jama'i. The people say ameen on their own. The area where there is evidence that we say ameen together is after salat, after gairil maghdub alayhim wala dhalim. Ameen. There is no evidence that we should be saying ameen together with one single voice. When we allow Mahatina Fimade, everybody say, Amen. What is the evidence for it? So, and then people, they want to pray against Israel, they are saying, allow Mahatina Fimade. If you want to pray against Israel, pray directly against them. They kill a lot of Muslims. Make that dua, go straight to the dua that you intend.
These are from the some of the etiquette of the notes. Except there is anything regarding which the clarification is wanted, and we have not mentioned it. So, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. آمين وإياكم.